The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Jesus said, "Just as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done by God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We are in midst of Lent, and we all have memories and experiences of what Lent is supposed to be, and I'm not going to regurgitate that. But the first reading, I think, summarizes what some of the experiences of Lent may be for us. Maybe not all, but at least for some, and that is, it speaks of the Israelites being led out into the desert in their exodus. But immediately, they begin to complain. Now, I think that's natural. When you move a large body of people out into a desert, certainly they don't have the logistics that we would normally plan for in this century, being prepared for this. And so you really can't blame them. We are in a kind of desert in Lent, and I think we should focus on that. The early Christians went out into the desert, the desert fathers were hermits, and they needed to get away from society. They needed to be quiet, and so they fled into the desert, and we have the early monks, as it were, the desert fathers, and they needed to do that in order to survive spiritually. And so the desert experience is a theme that goes right through the Bible. It goes right up into the New Testament. I'd like to give kind of a personal testimonial today. Really, instead of a traditional sermon, I must say that in my reflection during this Lent, I have been sort of pushed into a despair, reflecting on the state of the world. And it reminded me of a speech that I had read. It was given by William Faulkner, the very great American novelist, back in 1950, when he was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature. Now, I just want to quote one or two lines from it. Now, remember, 1950 was at the beginning of the Cold War and of the nuclear arms race. And after people had experienced the horror and devastation of World War II, all of a sudden, they get thrown back into another terrible debacle. And so, in that context, and then on top of it, we had all kinds of political things going on at that time. Not exactly that we have today, but very similar. We had the House Un-American Activities, who were attacking people because of what they were writing, and so on. So there was a really negative view of life. So this is what Faulkner had said, and it just reminded me of how I feel today, Fred. Our tragedy today is an anxiety so pervasive and so long sustained by now that we have gotten to the point that we can no longer even bear it. The only thing on our minds is how and when will it all end. The world today must learn again the ancient, universal truths of the heart. Love, compassion, and sacrifice. Until humanity does so, it lives under a curse. We speak not of love, but of lust, of defeats in which nobody loses anything of value, of victories without hope, and worst of all, without pity. Until humanity learns these things, it will speak as though he stood and watched the end of humanity. I refuse to accept the end of humanity. Now, what gives me the experience similar to what Faulkner was writing? Well, first of all, I think of our planet. Now, you know the world is 4.5 billion years old. And the appearance of humanity in the form that we know today really is only about 35,000 years old. Cro-Magnon man was really sort of the first modern man, where people begin to engage with their psyches and their egos and everything else the way we live today. So we've only been around, in our consciousness anyway, for about 35,000 years. Now, if you take 4.5 billion years and then you come to the present, and you and I, who live in the present, our species really has only been active in engaging the world for about 35,000 years, which means that we just arrived. Now, we just arrived, but at the same time, the planet on which we exist, because of what we have done ourselves, we have not followed the light, we've lived in the darkness. And so we have a planetary crisis. Now, how do you reverse something that has been going on for so long? So this is a very daunting challenge. And I'm sure that you feel as I do, that we'll do whatever we can, but in the back of our minds, we are worried about it. We're certainly worried about the future. The organization of what you would call concerned nuclear scientists, you know, they have been keeping the so-called doomsday clock, and where they have tried to determine where we are in terms of whether we're going to have a nuclear war. And right now, it's at 90 seconds before midnight. Now, that should concern us. But I have to tell you, it's been there, I think, for decades, frankly. It eased up when the Soviet Union had fallen, but it's back where it was before. The world of politics around the world, not just here, but we're all suffering the same problem. People are divided. And if you read the news and so on from these different countries, you'll find that they're doing the same thing as we are. They're struggling with the same thing as we are. And worst of all, the modern world is besieged by fanaticism, by extremism in all areas of life, not to mention religion, but also in all these other fields of life. So we're looking out at this and we're wondering what is going on. It is a dark period. And I think we have to face this even as our personal lives have to face it. You know, I know many people here, like myself, we're elderly. And so we're dealing with our age. We're dealing with our health. And so forth. So that's added on. So these are challenging times, and they are dark times, and I think we have to face them. Now in the gospel today, we get a little hint of where our minds ought to be on how we should face this kind of thing, because that reality really was not far from the time of Jesus. The world in which Jesus lived was also a tumultuous time with all its problems. And the life of Jesus himself, he had certainly no loss of problems in his life. And so John today talks about being drawn to the light. Now I think we all have this light. You know, listening to the gospel today, how John tries to show that the Israelites in the wilderness who had to look up to the symbol of the serpent in order to be saved, you know, for the snakes that were trying to devour them, that the symbol of Jesus on the cross, John says, we should look to Jesus on the cross for our salvation. And I certainly wouldn't argue with that. But I think for our time and for us here and now, it isn't so much that we need a Savior, because we've always needed a Savior. This has been going on forever. I think it's a revelation of who we really are. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there is an Irish expression for those who are virtuous or who are really extraordinary people, and they'll say, they have the brightness. They have the brightness. And that's what this gospel is about, the brightness. It's about the light that we actually have, and that's the reason for Jesus coming. He came to reveal the light to us, that the light is here, and he is in the light, and he is here. And he walks with us. But he doesn't extract us from the challenges that we have. We're not going to have some deus ex machina come in and just lift us out of here. It certainly wasn't for him. He lived and died, and his spirit lives on. And we must do the same. And so, my conclusion of this is that even though I've been painting a pretty bleak picture, you cannot succeed in anything in life unless you see it for what it is. And I must say that today, you certainly see it in politics, we have mass delusion. Seriously, psychological. People insisting on voting against their own interests. This is unbelievable. And not just one or two. Seems half the country is in this moment. Now, I don't want to talk about politics. It isn't worth talking about. But my point is that Mass psychology is the thing that scares me the most. We are the great tragedy. We embody the evil. And those who live in the light, and this is what John is talking about, like yourselves. I mean, you wouldn't be here today if you weren't walking in the light, I have to tell you. So I applaud you for being here today and for thinking about these things in a positive way. That's why you're here. But that is the key to dealing with this. To come to grips with the fact that who we truly are, we are the light. But the human ego has completely covered it over. And that is the challenge. All of the gospels we hear in the 52 days of the year, in the 52 weeks of the year, all of them deal with the human ego. The teachings of Jesus, his preachings, all of them deal with how to challenge the human ego. And when we realize that that is just our impression of who we are, that's our impression of what the world is, that there's a lot more there, and we have to dig deep into ourselves to bring this energy and this life out. That's the purpose of Jesus, and he's there to help. He did it, and he expects us to do the same thing. So, let me just conclude that I hope you will be encouraged. The gospel is here. I mean, it is good news, you know. That's the translation of a gospel. It's good news, not bad news. And I started off with bad news, so I wasn't doing a good job of lifting you up when I was starting off. But I want to leave you with the fact that it really is good news. The good news is that we have within us what is needed. And we have the grace of God that will enable us to get through it. And he always does. And he always will.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907, search for us online, or visit our website at oursaviormillvalley.org. We wish you God's peace, and we hope to greet you in person very soon.